look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Thunder! Thunder!
Are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population, and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because it said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, to say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in the New World Order.
Hydra has been secretly feeding crisis, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was...
Numbers are too high. Here's what we know. We know that the people who are dying from this disease are 11-fold more likely to pass if they are...
What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
But friend, you are my only friend.
What the hell are you doing with this creep, huh, Benny? What's in it for you?
It is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. As long as I serve him, I am immune.
From what?
Pitch cash a lot.
What did you say?
I don't want to tell you. You just hurt me.
As we struggle out of the shadow of our malefactors, welcome back to the light.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am...
I'm vengeance.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives, that you can never take our freedom. Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You, we must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friend. By God, we must live. And with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join St. Michael and all the angels in defending God and sending Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong. All storms. Yes. The storm is upon us. But not without Jesus, our rudder.
The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide
who are capable
our
of such crimes
people.
Against our nation, are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me. And this will be our last chance.
And I've seen people quitting.
Hey, rats! Rats!
Daniel! Did you have a plan if he responded?
I didn't think that far ahead.
You rarely think that far ahead. You are live on Liberty's Thunder. Irreverent, relevant, and proactive truth with a bite. I'm your host, Rex. Call-in number is 646-649-1013. 646-649-1013. A lot going on. Paying attention. Today we had the Defeat the Mandates rally slash march in, I think, 181 cities across the world, but the one here in D.C. was the one I was focused on, and it was pretty good. But rallying isn't going to get you out of this. Marching isn't going to get you out of this. Victory is going to get you out of this. There's an old phrase that is used by people to excuse their behavior. It goes something like this. I was just following orders. I was just doing my job. It's just business. It's not personal. Well, the reality of it is, it's not just business. It is personal. It is all extremely very personal. You are not just doing your job. You are not just following orders. It's not just business. You are making a free choice, and you are responsible for it. And if there are any law enforcement or military people listening, you're going to have to face that choice. You're already facing that choice, but you're going to have to face that choice real soon. Coercing, mandating, and forcing you to inject experimental gene therapies into your body for a virus that is barely as dangerous as the annual flu, while legally protecting the manufacturers from liability, is very personal. Doing it to your children is even more personal. Doing it in order to bring about the great reset of the fourth industrial revolution, the final revolution, technocratic tyranny by way of global genocide and redefining what a human person is extremely fucking personal.
No, Rex, why do you have to cuss? It's defiling and offensive.
Yeah. They're murdering children by the millions, and my foul mouth is what you're concerned about. If that's the case, fuck off. Don't listen. I mean, you can make everything as anodyne as you need it to be so that you can cope with it. Genocide, which seems like an abstract nightmare that occurs out there somewhere, mostly in the past, where I don't have anything to do with it, right? But I'm against it. I'm just one person. What can I do? I barely even notice it between the sports and the weather and Tucker's resting snark face. Well, I take it personally. I take genocide personally. To you, you should. You'd better. Of course, you aren't legally required to take the jab. When they mandate it, that's not legal. Nuremberg Code is still in effect. But, you know, it can just make it difficult for you to not take the jab. You know, you just can't go anywhere or buy anything or have a job or a bank account or say anything unless you do take the jab, or you will be depersoned, just like they did to Alex Jones and Milo and Laura Loomer and many others. Jason Miller of Gitter, the cancel culture on Gitter, the twatter killer, Jason Miller just did it to Nick Fuentes. This is a 23-year-old kid who speaks his mind, speaks the truth, and it's counter to the acceptable narrative. So he was just banned. And then, of course, you know, Jason Miller goes on Tim Pool's show and makes an ass of himself because he can't even answer the fucking question as to why he canceled Nick Fuentes like 3 times in one day. And then Andrew Torba goes on there. You should check both of those shows out. Check out Timcast IRL. Tim Pool is kind of annoying. But believe it or not, Tim Pool and Joe Rogan, they're more important than you realize because they expose people to things that they would otherwise not see. Their audience is largely unaware of some of the things you might be familiar with, like Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough and Nick Fuentes. But then Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab, went on Tim's show, and he just slaughtered it. They asked him what his terms of service was for, you know, banning hate speech and anti-Semitism and blah, 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 right? And he just held up a copy of the Constitution. Gab is truly a free speech platform. Gab TV is allowing free content up there. Now, there's a price to pay, so it limits getting the dreck that you get on YouTube and Rumble and all the others. But Gab TV is for pre-recorded uploads. Live streaming, good live streaming, is on Cozy TV. You should check that out, too. But Torba handed Jason Miller his ass, as well he should. So get on Gab. Follow me on Gab. Rex_Christie. Still banned on Facebook for another 2 weeks because I said something offensive about Cubanadian Ted Cruz. You can follow John Rolfe on Facebook, but I've got like 20 friends. And as always, this show never happened unless you tell people about it. Tell them why they should listen and share it. blogtalkradio.com/libertythunder. Make sure you follow me on Gab. Get me some followers on Gab. Rex_Christie. And follow Bond Robin, too, while you're there. But they can deperson you. And not just off social media. Nick Fuentes can't fly on an airplane because he was in D.C. on January 6th, the great insurrection, largest threat to our democracy since the South seceded from the Union. Fucking joke. Remove your bank ability to bank. Mike Lindell just lost his bank account for his recovery network, right? Because, you know, Mike keeps talking about, you know, the stolen election, which has, you know, completely been debunked and courts have adjudicated it. It never happened. It's a delusion that came out of Trump's head. Biden clearly got 81 million votes because he's so popular, right? This is the nonsense that they've been feeding people. And people have kind of had, since the beginning, a feeling that that really wasn't true. But to live in a modernist construct, a modernist matrix of deceit and Luciferian ideology, you have to pretend to forget and not know a lot of things. And that's not just for the crazy woke leftists. It's pretty much for everybody. You got to fight against that intentional forgetting about how bad things are just so that you can cope or focus on the immediate things in front of you. Because it's bad. It's a genocide happening right before our eyes, and they're doing everything they can to install a global tyranny like you've never imagined. And when they bring their vax pass, come digital global ID, come beast system fully online, they will be able to disappear you right before everyone's eyes. Nobody will say a thing. Think about the savage in Huxley's Brave New World. You might be alive in the biological sense. Heck, you may even have such a deep faith in the truth himself that you are alive in the eternal sense beyond mere biology. But you will be isolated, impeded, imprisoned, unable to go anywhere, do anything, or be heard. You'll be alive, but you will be depersoned, at least in the secular fundamentalist sense of the term, person, depersoned. Now, if you comply in order to avoid becoming isolated and uncomfortable or worse, you will still be depersoned. You will be well on your way to becoming an anti-person. Are you a person? Do you even know what that is? Do I? What the hell am I talking about? I mean, the original pre-Christian meaning of person, the word, I think it was prosopon, but person, it was a mask for a performing artist, an actor pretending to be somebody else. Now, the church fathers baptized the term person to attempt to explain what a hypostasis means. Because in Greek, the word for essence, nature, and hypostasis, person, have the same root. So it was a little confusing to the average ear. But they kind of baptized the word person, right? And nevertheless, they expounded on, at least as much as is humanly possible, on the concept, using limited vocabulary, which technically when we're talking about truth, we are using limited vocabulary because it is always limited. The truth is beyond mere words. The verbiage can never be enough because words, thoughts, concepts, categories cannot adequately define or encapsulate something as fundamental and profound as person. We sort of talk around it, talk about it. But we all know what it is to be a person on a deep, fundamental level within our being. They want you to forget it. Chiefly because person is grounded in the absolutely transcendent tri-personhood of God. God, who is three persons communicating one nature, fully contained in each of the three persons. The Father begetting the Son being begotten, and the Spirit perfecting eternally without beginning nor end. And this is beyond the human mind. No man could even conceive this. One God, three persons, fully communicating one nature that is fully contained in each person. I mean, that, like, thinking about this will melt your mind. But we know it's true. Because this has been revealed by God himself. Just last week, we celebrated the Theophany, the Feast of the Theophany. And if you don't know what that is, it's the baptism of the Lord. Look it up in your Bible. John knew who he was, his cousin, presumably, who was coming to him, and he said, "You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, I want you to baptize me." And when John baptized him, the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the Holy Spirit descended from heaven as a dove or a cloud, kind of floated on the Son. That's the revelation of the tri-personhood of God. God revealed this to us himself, and he told our ancestors that he made us in his image and likeness. We are in his image made persons, and we can be made in his likeness as partakers of his life. That is a free choice. While it is an easy choice to desire, it is a hard choice to effect because we are broken, we are ill, we are wounded, and our minds are darkened, subject to the whims of our unruly passions and fears, and appetites, We are driven by appetite and fear. Your enemy knows this very well and uses that against you. Your shield, your weapon, your ultimate weapon is Victor. If you really want to think about it, because we're engaged in war, an asymmetric hybrid war, mostly psychological, but people are dying more than ever. And it's a spiritual war. It is a war against evil. And the co-conspirators of evil. And people are always calling for unity, and we need to be united, and we need to solve our problems. Nonsense. Nonsense. I'm going to say something right now. It is the most divisive, dividing, cutting, sharp sword ever. It is your weapon. Humbly submit. Make amends. Repent. Turn away from your own participation in this lie. That weapon is one word. And that eternal word is Jesus. Does Jesus bring unity? In a sense, but Jesus also brings division. Because every encounter with Christ demands a decision and a choice. I encountered Christ, and my choice was not him. Thanks be to God, he's patient and merciful and called me back. Has he called you back? Have you listened? If you have ears to hear, listen to him. Time is short. The only rational fear in this life is fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of all wisdom. God is three persons. We are made in his image. Therefore, we are each a unique, unrepeatable, invaluable person. A human person. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. These are not components that make up a person. Person is beyond these categories. The mystery of personhood will be forever explored as we commune eternally with God. Unless we're dead by suicide. But at least for now, we are alive. Not some advanced set of minerals that somehow spontaneously develop consciousness bequeathed by the universe or some idol like, you know, Mother Earth. But we are alive. We can determine. The concept of life is something that you feel, but some people will twist it into other things. They will tell you that, you know, life spontaneously resulted from the primordial ooze and some lightning that came out of nowhere, because the universe just has lightning, and struck a vat of amino acids, and that sparked life, and it evolved into what we are today, right? You know, we're a higher evolved form of life, but we're really no different than that primordial bacteria that was formed in the ooze of amino acids. And now we can determine our own evolution using biotech, nanotech, and digital techno-manipulation. That's where they're taking your spirit of the age, right? Zeitgeist. This life is not a myth. You are not Promethean man. This life is real. You are a human person. You share a flawed nature with every other human person, but you are an individual person, and you belong to a family of persons. Now, you belong to your biological and sociological family, sure, but more. You belong to a family of individual persons who share one nature, and you can belong to a human family that are each personally partakers of the human nature of the one person who himself is eternally divine and condescended to assume, heal, and perfect human nature, the family of God and the kingdom of God. And not just any amorphous concept of God, not Allah or even the post-Christian concept of, you know, Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever, or, you know, turtles all the way down or whatever you want to come up with for, quote, God. The universe is God, blah, blah, blah. We're talking about the one triune God. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we are not the only persons in the cosmos. There are some persons who are an invisible substance. They've made their choice between life and death. Some of them help, others seek to destroy. And those decisions are fixed forever. Ours are not, not yet. Time is short. There are angels, and there are fallen angels. How do you kill an angel? You can't. You can't kill an angel. Angels commit suicide voluntarily. How do you kill a man? Easily. Once. I mean, human beings are very fragile. We're very easy to kill. You're basically a walking, talking bag of bones, blood, and water, and it is very easy to kill the body. Now, sometimes they kill the body in subtle ways. Convince you that you caught a lethal virus with a 30% kill rate, panic you, you rush to the hospital, and what are hospitals? They are currently murder factories, and they pump you full of remdesivir, shove a ventilator down your fucking throat, and kill you, and prevent you from having any therapeutic that actually provides you with recovery. And to think they're only doing it for profit is insane. That's part of it, but that's not their impetus. Power is more important than profit. Murder is more attractive to these psychopaths than profit. So human beings are easy to kill, at least the body, once. But ultimately, human beings, too, must choose suicide. How do you kill a nation or nations or the whole world? Millions of suicides coupled with millions of homicides. Get your vax. Get boosted. Go fuck yourself into suicide. Ignorance is not an excuse. Jabbing children is a crime. Stop believing lies. Stop participating in lies. Speak the truth. Speak it boldly. And do not be silent. The risk of silence is outweighing the risk of speaking. The risk of inaction and compliance far outweighs action and non-compliance. And it's about to accelerate. Stop believing lies. There was no lab leak. There was no lethal virus. Doesn't mean it didn't kill some people, but there was no lethal virus. There are no vaccines. Experimental mRNA gene therapies are not vaccines. This is an ongoing psychological operation, and the ongoing psychological operation is a genocide. Stop it before they launch the next wave. And we are very close to whatever the fuck the next wave is. Now, it seems like we're victors. It seems like the people have awakened and the narrative has been pierced, and even liberals are saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, and I'm not going to get boosted myself because they've been lying to us. And they're going to sacrifice Fauci, and they're going to remove Walensky, and there's going to be investigations and apologies, and, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I told you that we had to get jabbed. Bullshit. Ignorance is not an excuse, and if you are switching and fighting for the right side, great, but you are not going to be reconciled because you've asked for forgiveness for having misled. All the information was available. It was in your face. You chose not to see it. It was a choice. And if you put this poison in children, fuck you, and may God have mercy on you. I'm not sure I'm capable of it. You know, we have to forgive. We have to forgive a genuine repentance. But forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Forgiveness is something that you do. Frankly, I've already forgiven these pricks. But I'm not going to reconcile with them. I'm going to fight them tooth and nail. Well, Rex, how can you forgive them if you're going to keep fighting them? Well, I've forgiven them for having done the evil thing that they did. I have to. You have to. Actually, if you do a very dangerous thing, if you do any morning and or evening prayers, if you do a very dangerous thing, it's probably the most dangerous thing that you can do. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, we all know it. Even if you're a tepid believer, you know it. It's part of Western civilization, so you know it. But when you pray it, when you really pray it, it's the most dangerous thing you can do. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in the heavens. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You are literally in God, who answers prayers, to judge your trespasses, your debts, your sins, according to the measure by which you judge the trespasses, debts, and sins of others. If you are unforgiving, you are basically in that prayer asking God to be unforgiving to you. It's very dangerous. So we have to forgive. We do not forget. And forgiveness is what you do in your heart, meaning you are not going to hold what they have done against them personally, and you're going to leave that judgment to God. But you have a duty to speak truth and defend the innocent. And because of that duty, you may forgive them for what they have done. But you cannot permit them to continue doing it, even if it means ending their lives. Because children are being murdered. Lots of people are being murdered, but I'm here focusing on the most innocent. Not only the most innocent who have been murdered in the womb before they were ever born, but the children who managed to survive the abortion pandemic we've had for half a century in this country are being murdered under the pretext of health care and safety and convenience and not killing grandma. They're being murdered. They're being sterilized. And in a sense, that is a pre-conjugal abortion. How many countless children will not be born because we have allowed them to sterilize our children? Christ said, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. If we are silent, if we are passive, if we are keeping our head down and running close to the wall just to avoid friction. We are perpetrating a genocide on Christ himself. What you do to the least of these, you do to me. You have to stop it before they launch the next wave. Now, you might not be able to stop it. That's possible. But you do not proceed with action assuming defeat. You proceed with action assuming victory. And you boldly go into the fray to do the right thing, because it's all personal. Very fucking personal when they are murdering your children. And God help you if you have put this thing into your kids. God help you if you are the so-called healthcare worker who has put this thing in children. Now, it's difficult to fight forward with victory, even though we see the narrative unraveling, because we think, "Oh, okay, we won. They're gonna stop the lockdowns. They're gonna stop the mandates." No. They're rolling up the failed narrative. But they're just backbuilding, sort of like when the water recedes rapidly, right before a 50-foot tsunami slams into you. They're just pulling back. And again, it's also part of that mass formation psychosis and emotional psychological terrorism. You ease up, you push down. You ease up, you push down. You've already been defeated. But just because you've been defeated doesn't mean you stop fighting. Because you're still alive, you're still breathing, and you have a personal responsibility. We were defeated. Now we're suffering the consequences of defeat. But until you draw your last breath, you can still fight in some capacity. So fight. Victory is before you, but nobody's going to hand it to you. You have to fight. Now, how did that defeat happen? Well, defeat, especially when you are very powerful, defeat comes from those closest to power. Not the enemy across the field of battle. So make no mistake, the period between January 6th and January 20th of 2021, the November 3rd coup was ascendant, and we lost. Trump was defeated. Now, in a sense, Trump was defeated March of 2020, but there was a chance of a reversal, making a comeback. It didn't happen. Trump was defeated. Oh, well, Rex, we won the election. Well, of course we won the fucking election. We got more votes. He got more votes than any president in history, and there's no way Biden got 81 million votes. They rigged it. They stole it right in front of your face, and they pulled it off. Trump is currently not sitting in the White House. Not sure Biden's sitting in the White House, but Biden sometimes pretends to be in the White House. Doesn't really matter, because Biden's not the actual issue. He's an empty avatar that doesn't even know his own fucking name. That press conference he gave last week was just crushing. They put him there to be an empty puppet and a sacrifice, but he's not running anything. And, oh, it's Obama, Rex, I know it's Obama. Well, I'm sure Obama's involved, but this is much bigger than Obama, so don't focus on Obama. Oh, well, Jen Psaki just said she really liked working for Obama, and she slipped up because she really works for Biden. Really? Okay, big fucking deal. Jerk-off transaction. It's irrelevant. Is Obama involved? Is Valerie Jarrett involved, and all the other, you know, psychotics from the Obama administration? Of course they are. But that's not the real problem. That's a symptom. They're apparatchiks. They're part of the apparatus of tyranny, but they are not the source of tyranny. But you have to understand, we lost. Trump was defeated, and the war continues. I mean, did it occur to you that the military junta is using Biden to diminish us worldwide in make Trump's next term irrelevant.
I don't know what you're talking about, Resk.
Well, you know, look it up. Just do a Google search for a Newsweek article. There's probably others, but Newsweek is always a good place to find out where the limited hangouts are, which kind of gives you validity to the things that are, you know, in the conspiratorium that are actually real. Look up Granite Shadow and Free Jack and Zodiac, Con Plan 2400 and Con Plan 3600, and PEADS, P-E-A-D-S. All right, these are all secret legal powers that are delegated, from what I understand, and again, this is all secret, so we don't know for sure, in a devolved military control beyond the surface government that you see. War with Russia! Biden's a terrible commander-in-chief. Biden's not the commander-in-chief, and if there's going to be war with Russia, it's not because of Biden. It's not because Biden gave Putin permission to invade Ukraine, or because Biden decided to send troops into the Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Biden. There is a military junta that is ruling America. They're using Biden to diminish us worldwide. Now, could this also be a military junta that is, you know, the counter operation? Perhaps. I haven't seen any evidence of that last year, but who knows? I mean, it is entirely possible that the military screwed up the withdrawal in Afghanistan on purpose to make Biden look bad, and basically some innocent people got screwed, but you know where that happens. Most of the idiots left behind were CIA operatives. CIA operatives that worked for a company called CAI. Don't believe me? Look it up. It's true. So who knows? Maybe there's an internal invisible civil war going on. I don't know. All I know is that things out here don't look good. But Biden's behavior is certainly diminishing us worldwide, and that has a tactical advantage for the globalists. Right? All they have to do is shift their power center to Brussels or Beijing. Right? They're globalists. It's not like they're, you know, American globalists or English globalists or Chinese globalists. They're globalists. Countries are irrelevant to them. They're thinking beyond nation states. They're thinking beyond corporations. It's global. And a strong American president, because of the strength of America, at least the strength America used to have, who is not hampered by the administrative state and traitors in his own circle, can actually stand in their way and crush them. Now, we thought that was going to be Trump. Maybe like Napoleon, he'll come back from exile and it will be Trump. But it wasn't Trump 2016. No, he was hampered by the permanent administrative state and traitors in his own circle. That's a fact. And, you know, the one you would think that would have more acumen and capacity and capability, General Michael Flynn, stepped on his dick and got himself fired 3 days in. That was that. Pathetic. Darren Beatty, probably the only man in history, the only man in existence, who got fired both by the Trump administration and the Biden administration. And how many Trump loyalists like Monica Crowley and others were removed by John Kelly and H.R. McMaster and Ivanka? Fucking mess. And it was a defeat. It was a glorious, fun ride for 3 years, but it was a fucking defeat. You have to accept that. Because if you cope by pretending it wasn't, then you're not prepared for the next fight. Now, maybe it'll be revealed one day that that was all part of the trustee plan. Okay, if that happens, fine. I'll celebrate. So far, that's not at all what happened. And if you're hanging on to that, you're useless in the next fight. The globalists aren't worried, but they are mitigating risk. Maybe Trump can come back and cause them some problems. So let's diminish the United States. So if Trump becomes president, he'll have to spend all of his time trying to rebuild because Biden didn't build anything back better. I mean, nothing's built, nothing's better, nothing's back. It's worse than ever. And if that's the case, then Trump will be hampered from the very beginning of 2023, 2025, whenever the fuck he gets back in there, if he does. And they've got their other global leaders, any of them trained by Klaus Schwab himself, like, you know, Emmanuel Macron and Crenshaw. Fucking faggot. But they've got Xi Jinping, right? Even Fauci says, you know, we were working with the Chinese communists. Well, of course you were. We all know this. If you don't know this, you're a moron. But Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum was, you know, blowing smoke up Xi Jinping's ass. What is it? I wrote something in response to Butch on Facebook earlier. I said, oh, here. They are blowing smoke up his ass, and he believes his Chinese Middle Kingdom secures his position as Pontifex Maximus. Don't think Xi Jinping is in charge. He'd fancy himself to be in charge, but he's also being used by these globalists. Keep in mind, the globalists, the Rockefellers, the British Empire have had their teeth sunk into China for a long time. They're responsible, using our apparatus, for making the, you know, Marxist revolution of Mao Zedong and all that stuff, just like Russia, just like Nazi Germany, the communists, the CCP, wouldn't be in control of China if it wasn't for Western industrialist banking lawyer globalists. Well, but there's a resistance, Rex. The Lao Beijing, I hear Bannon talking about it. Maybe. Fucking Miles Guo. For all you know, Miles Guo is an operator for the globalists, and he's just pretending to be, you know, whatever. He pays Bannon $1 million a year to do his stuff. He gave Jason Miller $75 million to create the conservatard herding platform Getter. But can't have any Groypers on there. You can't even say Groyper on there. But it's a free speech platform, and we're banning Nick Fuentes. Jason Miller, why are you banning Nick Fuentes? Because Groypers, it's hate speech. It is a Groyper. I don't know. What did he say that was hate speech? I read about it in the Washington Post, and I heard about it from Fredo Cuomo on CNN. Oh, great. That's fucking wonderful, Jason Miller, co-host of Bannon's War Room. Come on. All right, now I'm not knocking War Room in the sense that War Room is a worthwhile show to watch because of the people that come on there. Not all of them, but some of them, like Dan Schultz with the Precinct Project and other things that you can do that are small tactical operations within the wider war. But, you know, just like Alex Jones, I watch InfoWars, I listen, but there's a lot of bullshit there. Now, is that different than anything else that's out there? Not really. If you have a discerning eye, you can find more truth in certain places than others, but you got to watch everybody. So, how long have I been? Almost an hour in. Okay. So you got to prepare. Don't be triumphalist and don't be defeatist. Okay? You just have to see it for what it is and take the best action that you can take given that context. Okay, as the COVID vax narrative collapses, which it is. Now, is that an engineered collapse? Is it a collapse because we put too much pressure on them? Is their timetable off? I don't fucking know. But you read the Rockefeller paper and you look under the lockstep section, you look at Cladex, Crimson Contagion, Event 201, SPARS. Collapse of the narrative is part of their exercises. Now, maybe we're making them do it too soon, too late. I don't know, but just keep in mind something. Today is the 23rd of January in the year of our Lord, 2022. This fucking mess started almost 3 years ago. Think about that. We're coming up on the anniversary of 15 days to slow the spread. One heck of a 15 fucking days from, I guess that was what, March 16th, 2020? So, you know, we're going to start the third year of 15 days to slow the spread. think about that. So as they roll it up, because they've done massive damage, perhaps not as much as they would have preferred, but plenty, and death and destruction are going to keep manifesting at increasing rates over the next few years. This was a soft kill, meaning that you've got sterilizations, which means declining birth rates and replacement rates, and you're going to have a spike in people dying of other conditions that are caused by these vaxes. It's a genocide, and it's personal, and we're being murdered. And they're going to shift to economic, financial, currency crises now, and then, you know, add cyber polygon as an overlay, and then, you know, turn off the power, and, you know, the goal remains the same. The goal remains the same, whatever the next thing is. Another pandemic, the Marburg virus, 30%. I don't know what it's going to be. The goal is the same. Crush populism and nationalism by calling it terrorism. And push the globe into the Great Reset. You are currently under siege. You're under siege. The border has been shut down to unvaxxed, which is to say the truckers that are still purebloods. And that they tell, the number I'm hearing is somewhere between 30 and 50%, which means it's probably closer to 70% of truckers said, fuck you, I'm not taking this thing. I mean, most people become truckers because of the high pay, it's hard work. Many of them are independent, but they've got, you know, dispatchers and contracts and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of them could have avoided getting the vax because they just didn't want to, right? The employer wasn't able to do it because you can't impose this on contractors, but you can pull contracts. But they don't even have to do that because now the government of Mexico, I don't know, I'm not sure about Mexico, but the U.S.-Mexico border and the Canadian and U.S. governments on the U.S.-Canada border have shut down supplies moving by, quote, unvaxxed truckers. And not a peep about it, right? We talk about supply chains and, you know, ration your food, blah, blah, blah. They don't get into the cause. Just like they talk about inflation, they don't get into the cause. Hint. It's the fucking Federal Reserve, which is a private bank. And the single biggest node of power that these psychotics have. Paul Warburg, the chief architect of the Federal Reserve scheme, who was a fucking foreign national at the time he did it in secret on Jekyll Island, said, you will have a new world order by consent or by conquest. Now, you can take that statement and go, oh, guys, they're so strong, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. No, that's just their overconfidence. It doesn't have to happen. I mean, it's happened. We're in the new world order, and not just because of the last 3 years. But they're taking us to the next step of their new world order, and you have to fight it. H.G. Wells told you that millions will protest and die fighting the new world order. Well, so be it. Game on. It's hard to motivate people when it was just some kind of far-off concept in the future that's only conspiracy nuts believed in. Now it's in everybody's fucking face. The lines are clear. If you don't see it now, you never will, because you choose not to. You are under siege. The supplies and the currency are about to disappear. By 2030, you will own nothing and you will like it. Yeah, yeah, you will own nothing and you will like it. Next thing they unleash is going to appear so much worse than what you've seen in the past. Better brace for impact. Now, you know, you could say, are they rolling up the narrative because that's their schedule? Is it their timetable? Or are they rolling it up because too many of us are aware of it? I mean, either way, you're about to be punished for noncompliance. So you got to be ready. So not like, you know, this path is victory and this path is defeat. It's a ongoing war. There are defeats and victories. After you have a victory, you got to maintain that victory and then take the next victory and cause them a defeat. So you keep fighting. If you get defeated and you're still breathing, you got to counter-strike and keep fighting. It's not going to, they're not going to let up, and they are not going to stop. They have to be stopped. In the New World Order, victory begets crisis. Until you topple them from their towers of control of the institutions and the levers of power, every victory will beget a new crisis. So as they roll up the COVID hoax toward the Great Reset, expect the next crisis, emergency, war, pandemic, aliens, financial crash, flying butt monkeys that force you to get vaxxed, who knows? But right now, because of what they've done at borders with the truckers, we are less than 72 hours away from depleted supplies. The weather is cold, and they can shut off the power. Now, they won't shut off the power. They'll say the Russians hacked our system because Putin is making his moves against Ukraine. They can shut off the power. They can shut off the mobile networks. They can turn off the Internet in an instant, freezing up on the COVID mask vax hoax. Primarily, if you really think about it, because those that are stupid enough to get vaxxed have already been vaxxed, and those of us who refuse to be vaxxed are going to fucking refuse until the end. So the lines are static. So we don't need the vax hoax anymore. We can go to the next hoax. The only way our supplies won't be killed at the borders and ports is if the U.S. truckers identify as undocumented importers and use their arrest warrants as an ID.
Oh, that's funny.
It's not funny. Not fucking funny. They're allowing illegal aliens from all over the world, mostly young fighting age men, to use their arrest warrants, which means they've already committed crimes, mostly violent crimes, as an ID to gain entrance into our country and to be flown around in secret on your dime. But our truckers who work their asses off to bring you the shit that you need are now told if they don't put the fucking poison in their body, they can't be on the road. It is a siege. And if you really think about it, I posted this on Facebook earlier. John Rolfe did. Follow me on Gab. Rex_Christie. If I were to subjugate the people of these United States to a global tyranny, I would do everything, quote, Biden administration, is pretending to do right now. You are under siege, and they are about to drop the next PSYOP on you hard because you can't find food. Your money disappears, the power is cut off, and they pursue an active hot shooting war against Russia while your borders are wide open. You can't make up a more fucked up scenario to destroy a country. It's diabolically brilliant, and they're doing it. So be ready as they introduce shit to the fan, because it's going to hit it. And here's the difficulty, right? We've talked about this before, but it's evil is not a created good. Lucifer was created good. Lucifer is an invisible substance person, one of God's greatest creations, very intelligent, very beautiful. But Lucifer was blinded by his own light, and so he rebelled against God. And once he made that decision, that's fixed forever. So evil manifests in the cosmos. And every time we participate in evil, we're doing evil. You have to try to do good and avoid evil. But to grasp the concept that evil is real, death is real, but neither of them was created. And how dark can that be? Very dark. Probably darker than you can imagine. The evil that most of us do is mild and benign, although infinitely horrible. Relatively speaking, it's mild and benign. Unless you happen to be a psychopath, in which case, fuck off, don't listen to my show, you can't grasp the evil that these people are willing to do. Because you're kind of transferring your own sensibilities and limits to them. They have no limits. The depths of their immorality have no limits. And they're abusing you. And they enjoy it. Not like they're abusing you because, you know, simply they think that you're dangerous to them. That may be part of it. They actually enjoy abusing you. They enjoy abusing and murdering and eating children. They enjoy psychologically terrorizing you. It feeds them. It's important to understand so that you know what you're fighting and resolve and pray God for the courage to keep doing it. Because the abuser will kill their victim rather than let them escape. Now, the masses are more awake than ever, you know this, which is a good thing. But this is when the abuser is most dangerous. Psychopaths will play their lying games until their lies no longer work, which is the moment their murderous intent breaks out in sheer evil violence. So if they're rolling up their narrative because we've pushed them too hard, the next thing they're going to do is going to be worse. Because in their calculus, either the victim is about to escape or the victim has resolved not to be victimized and therefore it is time to destroy. And it's so easy to fool yourself into thinking this is not happening. And then you won't fight and then it'll happen. If you fight, you can stop it. The idea of no bad thing has happened to me, so the next thing won't be bad either, is as stupid as only bad things have happened to me, so the next thing will be even more horrible. Victory begets victory. We're winning is as stupid as we can't win. They're too strong. We're going to get defeated. The future is unwritten. The future is unwritten. Your choice in the moment matters, and you are free and responsible. Make wise choices. Try to open up your mind's mind to the Holy Spirit and get right with God before your limit arrives. The rest is mostly fluff. But you have to make sure that you are defending the innocent with every fiber of your being. Because now what they're trying to tell you is, well, yeah, we told you the Great Reset is like some nonsense conspiracy in the dark webs, especially amongst those groypers and gabbers and Alex Jones acolytes, blah, right? But they've had the information out there telling you what the Great Reset is. Klaus Schwab wrote a fucking book about it. And then, all of the global leaders are, you know, echoing Build Back Better, part of the Great Reset slogan. Right? So now they're coming out and they're saying, well, yeah, the Great Reset is real. It's not a conspiracy theory, but it's good for you. That's the conspiracy. The conspiracy nuts are telling you that the Great Reset is bad, but really the Great Reset's good. You like it. You like the New World Order. Rather than the law of the jungle, we'll have a New World Order will emerge where people, nations and people will be able to resolve their conflicts. And if the power of the United... Here, fuck it. I'm going to play. Where is it? I think I have it, right? Here we go.
A new world order can emerge.
And it has to do with a new world order. And that world order is only going to be enhanced if this newly activated peacekeeping function of the United Nations proves to be effective.
There it is. The peacekeeping function of the United Nations proves to be effective. Well, you know, Putin, that son of a bitch, that evil bastard who colluded with Trump, even though it was Biden that, you know, gave him the Nord Stream pipeline that Trump was speaking against, but that's besides the point. Putin is an evil bastard. There's no question about it. So what is Putin doing? He is amassing troops on Russia's border with the Ukraine, where Russians live in the Ukraine. Huh, why would he do that? Was, is he planning on taking over Kyiv? Is he simply protecting the Russians in western Ukraine from the likes of Victoria Nuland and the other fucking globalists who are shoving NATO up Russia's ass after they, Russia was told that NATO, the good guys, the free world, won't be advancing militarily towards Russia? What a bastard. How dare he? We have to send young men to fight and die in Ukraine to defend us from Putin, while young men of fighting age who hate us are streaming across the southern border. What kind of nonsense is this? It's a way to destroy you. That's what they're doing. It's a way to destroy you. That's their plan. That's their game. I might take some calls once I wrap up a couple of other points here, but you've got that nonsense, and then you've got, you know, the great Republican success, like what's going on in Virginia. Now, I will say what's happening in Virginia is pretty good, and it's not because Youngkin is anything other than a Carlisle group affiliated with Dominion lobbyist twat waffle. But bullying Republicans works in an election year, which, you know, presumably this year is the Republicans' red wave, blah, 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 right? Bullying Republicans works. To really bully them. I mean, you have to make things very difficult. None of this hold their feet to the fire and send the strongly worded facts. We're talking about really bullying these pricks, right? So we've got an investigation into Loudoun County and their CRT. CRT is banned from education in Virginia's schools. No mask mandates, no vaccine mandates for it's good stuff. Why? Because Youngkin has to look like DeSantis in order to raise the Republicans' profile for the big red wave of November, blah, 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 okay? Because I live here, I think that's fucking great, okay? But it's not because the Republicans are great. Republicans suck. It's the Republicans, stupid. Every single fucking one of them is worthless unless you bully them into doing what you need them to do. Don't forget that. Do not forget that. That is a huge and important point. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't support Republicans? No. However, you have to ask yourself, if they can steal the election from Trump right in front of everybody's eyes, and we haven't removed those machines and fractional voting, how do the Republicans win unless they're allowed to win? And therefore, what kind of Republicans are you going to get? Kevin McCarthy? I mean, he's not as shrewd nor as evil as Mitch McConnell, but he still sucks. You got to take over their apparatus from the ground up, and you've got to work to get rid of all of these fucking fractional voting machines, or you will never have another legitimate election in this country at all. Hey, caller. It's from 703. Oh, you're local. Who's this?
Hello, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing? What's on your mind?
Good. I've lived in Virginia probably 40 years and just seen it go to waste.
Yeah. It used to be a nice southern state south of the Potomac probably 40 years ago. Then you had to cross the Occoquan, and now if you're north of the Rappahannock, you are in greater Washington, D.C.
I always wonder what's keeping all these military people who are no longer active duty from doing the right things? Is it the golden handcuffs or what?
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe some of them are doing the right thing, and this military junta are the good guys. We don't know. But no, sadly, most of them, you know, they've got their pensions and their care, and you know, they don't want to rock the boat, and they don't want to look like fools at their church, and they don't want to lose their corporate contracting gig. Sad.
And it's, how would Americans go about fighting back? Like, will we start locally and just go talk to the sheriff and say, hey, this is what we're doing. You either back us or you're going in your own jail cell. We outnumber them and we're stronger than them. So why are we listening to their law enforcement anyway? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah, there is, I mean, look, if it all falls apart, that it could get to that point. I don't think we're there yet, primarily because people aren't psychologically prepared for that. But, you know, one of the things that Torba has been talking about, and I think it's a valid way to go about it, is parallel economies and parallel societies. And there are a lot of...
enemy seems to do is they move into an area and set up a parallel economy to grift off of us, basically.
Yeah, they do it, and we can do it, too. So the idea, I mean, look, there's a lot of Virginia sheriffs that when they did these mask mandates and vaccines and all this crap, were like, yeah, we're not enforcing that in my county. So you got to find sheriffs like that. You got to move into places like that. You've got to associate with people who share your values, and kind of non-compliance is the way that we're doing it. I mean, that's what's pushing back on the narratives.
And then, so if we do the non-compliance thing, and then we non-comply long enough until we don't have food, then what have we accomplished? That's the problem I'm seeing.
Well, we're not going to have food because we're importing it, but we can still grow food.
Yeah, it's about 8 degrees outside. I'm wondering what happens, though, if we could coordinate all the sheriffs that seem or say to be on our side, if we could coordinate them to take the Richmond State House over and everything in between, how come we can't just do that? Like, get all the sheriffs and say, hey, we got your back. Go ahead and do it. We'll show up there and we'll, you know, help you arrest the bad cops kind of thing.
I think that's it's a nice dream, but I don't think people are psychologically prepared for that. And I don't think you get enough sheriffs and firepower to do that.
And I'm wondering, what would be the push we would use to wake people up to that extent? Because they're dead in the water. Voting doesn't matter in this country anymore. And the guns are just being shined to a fine, you know, finish that you could see a reflection of. Prepared to use them. They've been disarmed mentally. So how do we break that hypnotism?
You speak the truth. You speak the truth. You keep telling people about what's happening. More and more people are aware now than ever. More and more people are listening. More and more, you know, people are saying, you know, my conspiracy nut friend turned out to be right about so many of these things. And you're saying it. I mean, you saw how many people were downtown today.
Yeah, and you're right. I'm surprised how many people are actually starting to see what's going on. And it's the most random people because I do deliveries all night and day out here in Winchester, and you never know who knows what's going on. It's surprising.
Yeah, and now a lot of people in certain contexts won't say it because they don't know who they're talking to. So they
might
not discuss it at work.
I tell everyone to talk about it in public to make it a common conversation in public
exactly.
As far as like a strategy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that, you know, again, it's speaking the truth and not complying with the tyranny, not wearing your mask, not getting your vax, all of it. It kind of spreads, and the fact is that for now we still have the ability to communicate on the internet, so you can get in groups and organize that way. To look, what happened in D.C. today was great because it was a lot of people there. You had basically the representation of 17,000 medical doctors who were telling us that this is all bullshit, and they're rolling up their narrative because of that pushback. Now, what's the next thing? I don't know, but it is coming.
True that. I'm wondering what the next thing is, too. Probably a banking crash or collapse of some kind. They really need to grab more control.
They do. I mean, that could be the next thing. But, again, parallel economies are about using alternate currencies, barter if you have to, and, you know, take care of each other in small ways. Again, like you said, we outnumber them. So if more of us are helping each other, then the ones that are going to suffer the most are the ones that have gone along with the program. You know, a total financial collapse is going to wipe out pensions, Social Security, whole money system collapses, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't money. It's just not government-authorized money anymore, and barter doesn't go away.
Oh, lastly, this will be the last thing I have to say. Just the amount of illegals pouring in here on these buses and stuff. We can see the neighborhoods they're being held in, and they're allowing to breed and live. And it used to be where all the hardworking, well, lower-class white people lived, and black people, too. And I'm noticing the restaurants as I'm delivering, all the Americans are being replaced by brown-haired, brown-skinned, brown-eyed communists from Central America. How come American citizens can't get together and just round these people up and just hold them in a detention center they create? How come the cops aren't allowed to do it? We can arrest the cops that won't do it too, you know? I don't understand how come they won't do their job and they still collect a paycheck. All right.
That's precisely why. they're going to do it. They're going to – the cops are going to stick – who are still collecting their paycheck are the ones who are like, hey, we can't do anything. It's a sanctuary county or whatever. Bigger problem, but it's going to take the efforts of border states like Carrie Lake, who's running in Arizona, to basically declare an invasion and shut down the border without authorization from DHS. So we'll see how that plays out. Thanks for calling. All right. If any of you others want to call in, please do. Otherwise, goodness, we've done this long enough, I think. We can wrap it up. You'll be able to find this probably uploaded on Bond Robin's channel sometime this week, Bond Robin on Gab, Bond Robin on Gab TV, Bond Robin on Rumble, Bond Robin on BitChute. But this show and the conversation I just had with Jerry never happened unless you tell people about it. Tell them why they should listen. It's free. All you do is go to blogtalkradio.com/libertysthunder, and you can play it right in your browser. You can download an MP3. You can go to Bond's channel when he gets them up and just share the link. Most people listen to the show after it airs live. So I do appreciate Jerry calling in live. And tell them why they should listen. And if you don't think they should listen, then just don't share it, because I am not for everybody's ears. And just keep at it. But you have to understand that what they're doing is all personal. It is all personal. Abstract universals can be applied to generalities. But when you get down to the granular particularities, it is all personal. And it is especially personal when you get down to the fundamentals of reality. I know that there are people like Elon Musk who think that we're already living in a simulation and he wants to brain chip you. He can go fuck himself. If I'm not taking the vax, I'm not taking your fucking brain chip, right? But this is not a simulation. It's real. But you might not understand fully the fundamentals of reality, because epistemology, philosophy, metaphysics are subjects we tend to shy away from. You know, we tend to focus on the empirical, the material, and the immediate. That's a modernist lie. And if you don't even know what I'm talking about, then you know where a good place to get it. Obviously, Bond Robin talks about this stuff. I talk about this stuff. But you can also check out Jay Dyer's stuff. I think he's on YouTube, Rockfin. He's on Gab, but I think mostly Twitter. But check out Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. He does, I think, the fourth hour on Thursdays on Alex Jones' show. But it's a modernist lie. It's part of their program of solve et coagula, which is dissolve and recoagulate. So what they've done is they've stripped us of our capability to address reality. They've denuded religion of the content of truth. With the rise of atheism and Eastern mysticism and all sorts of other crap, chiefly scientism, telling you that, you know, the material world is all that there is and we can manipulate it and evolve ourselves and brain chip ourselves and become the next uber mensch that we can be. Unfortunately, some people won't buy it and they'll have to die, blah, 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 right? But then they're going to flip the script. Using your own natural impulse for religion to usher in a dark lie under the guise of light and love and emotional bullshit. This is especially dangerous for all of you so-called Christians. And I'm going to pick on you, because you're more likely to be my audience, even though I insult you. The body of Christ, the church, is real. Where do you find her? Well, I'm having that struggle myself right now. But the truth is available at your fingertips. And you really need to look into the Church of the Councils, Orthodox Catholic Church of the first few centuries. Read the Church Fathers and understand what the Church is saying, because the Church is the body, the mystical body of Christ, animated by the Holy Spirit to give us the truth. And you need that, because otherwise you will fall for, you know, the hip pastor with the earpiece on the stage with the emotional music, or the Joel Osteen who tells you that God wants you to be rich, or the Pope in Rome who's about to introduce you to Chrislam, and all sorts of other nonsense that is part of their syncretic one-world religion. When people, now, the young people have a religious impulse, but they don't know where to put it. So they're either anodyne Christians or they're buying into the whole tranny religion, scientistic religion, some kind of karmic, cosmic, Hindu, pagan bullshit. And, you know, because of our First Amendment, we don't get to speak the truth because all religions are equal. You know, Jews and Muslims and Christians pray to the same God. No, we don't. No, we don't. They deny the divinity of Christ. They deny that God is three persons. These are fundamentals of reality. They're not optional. You can choose to believe them or not, but they're not optional. They are reality. It's very, very personal. And the person who manifested evil first is smarter, faster, and stronger than you. And his minions, both enfleshed and not fleshed, are working hard to kill you and murder you and drag you into hell. But our Lord cannot be defeated. But you need to find him, not a facsimile of him. He's not a great moral teacher. He didn't give us a code of ethics. He is a living, breathing person, an eternal divine person who is in human flesh, and he can elevate you because of who he is, but it's personal. The evil is personal. The good God is personal. Everything is personal. There is no, I'm just doing my job. There is no, I was just following orders. There is no, it's just business. Very personal. And you better grasp that. You better hold on to the person of Christ Jesus with every fiber of your being. And then you'd better do his will, which is to go out and fight evil. Because evil is all around you. And it comes with benefits of light and love and goodness. And only when your mind's eye, your noetic capacity, has been uncluttered of all the crap you have imbued in your entire life and all of the mistakes and things you have done that you're ashamed of that you need to repent of, will your noetic capacity be opened to have a personal relationship with God through the mystical body so that you can be strengthened and edified and healed and prepared for the battle ahead, because they will not stop. They are coming for you. They are coming for your children. And as the psyops ebb and flow, you'll get some reprieves, and then things will get worse. And you have to fight through all of it. And you have to unite together and find other brothers and sisters who believe in putting our country first, under Christ, taking care of each other, and especially the future generations that have been devastated by this COVID psyop. There is so much work ahead. There are so many battles. We're all tired. And it's all very, very personal. Pray God for the strength, the one true God, who is one nature in three persons. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, unto ages of ages. Amen. 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 And with Christ in your heart and each other's shoulders standing in phalanx, we will march forward, and we will win, and we will win, and we will win. And it'll be a personal victory for each and every person who fights for truth and bends the knee of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Rex signing off, and the thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Countries are doing to us, China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.